statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list? You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 161, November 16th, 2021. Ben the Breaker of Banksters. What's going on, Future Dan?
I think we broke an anniversary since the last episode, have we not?
Yeah, this is definitely our four-year anniversary show, unofficial. 4 years of Patriot Power Hour and 161 episodes.
So what's our rate? Shabby. What's our rate of episodes?
Let's get that old calculator out. Let's go with 52 weeks.
You're gonna mess this math
times
up.
4 years. That's 208 weeks, and we did 161 divided by 208.
Oh no, you're right. 77.4.
I do have a master's in finance.
You did do the math right. 77% of the time weekly we're on.
Yeah, so
for 4 years,
more than 3 out of 4 weeks a month we're live. We, in my opinion, we're on more than that, but we do take 1 week off per quarter purposefully. We've had a few technical difficulties, and here and there, like the very end of the holidays, we'll take like an extra
week. We skipped that too when the news was heavy.
Yeah, so, but long story short, I feel like we've been on a lot more often in the past year or two with less skips because so much has happened. Just craziness, really, especially post-COVID. So I expect we're going to be on more than this in the next year to kind of round out that fifth year. I expect we'll be on more often than ever.
Why do we podcast like it's a radio show?
Because we do it live. We literally do it live. A lot of, almost everyone does a podcast pre-record. We never pre-record. I think maybe 3 or 4 episodes out of 161 were pre-recorded.
Have they? I didn't know we did any.
I thought we did a few, and we've uploaded ones where we had some issues, and we re-uploaded them. But that's not really pre-recorded. So, very, like, literally, I think we've done 1 or 2. But we keep it live here Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern. Prepper Broadcasting Network, Patriot Power Hour. But, you know, most people consume these type of shows on a podcast format after the fact. I listen to shows weeks or even maybe not months after they come out, but definitely weeks, you know.
Now we throw some breaks in with music and other stuff just to, you know, break it up, confer with each other. What are we going to do next? Cause we're doing this quite ad hoc, and it's been fun. 4 years. Congratulations.
Yes,
Patriot
sir.
Power Hour.
Yes, sir. I feel like we've gotten much better at it to keep it interesting and maybe a little jovial at times with such serious dark stories, unfortunately. Some dangerous stuff going on, but I think we've improved our delivery, and man, we've brought out so much good content, and to another good year. Unfortunately, I think
the 5-year plan
year will be just totally out of control. We'll get into the news blitz in the second quarter of today's show. So we'll kind of leave it at that. It's not particularly a red hot dashboard today, but we still have so many crazy topics to go into that, you know, I feel like things are only escalating every single month and almost weekly at this point.
Do you? You feel like there's just, you're living among people that are descending in a, into like a cloned slave-like state to the, you know, absorbing information near you and ways that are, you know, just obviously contradictory, right? Where's the cognitive dissonance for half the population of America? I don't know. It's surreal times, and how we present it, how we approach it is a lot different from other shows. But in the first quarter, you could just languish in the state of affairs we're in. Second quarter, we're going to talk about actual headlines that are, you know, verifiable to some, one degree or another. Use your judgment. But, you know, our state of affairs this week. But for now, you know, what's eating at you? What is the contemporary news environment causing you angst for, Ben?
I'm going to stick to inflation right now. I mean, pretty much every time you've asked me that question in the past 2 years has been COVID or the vaccines and the mandates, and those have been totally out of control. We'll talk a lot about that. But there's a lot of other stuff going on as well. And we've been calling inflation for quite a while. And in fact, I probably called inflation too early. And that's fine. I'd rather be early than late in this situation. I would have rather stocked up on preps, stocked up on gold, silver, food, ammo, all that. Before the inflation hits, maybe been 3-5 years too early, then a month too late, right? When maybe there are shortages, you can't even get a lot of things. So it's really rearing its head right now.
It's getting real.
Yeah, getting real. And any amount of slack there was where it wouldn't put massive pain on the average American has been eaten up right already, okay? So there's been clips of the CNBC anchor, who, by the way, was a top saleswoman for credit derivatives before the last crisis. But she was saying, look, Americans, since we haven't been spending money since coronavirus, so the good news is we can all afford this inflation, no problem. Well, she makes $2 million a year on CNBC, and she made tons of money in the past, you know, 10 plus years with regard to the credit default swaps and all the derivatives. So guess what? She has a point from a technical aspect. The savings rate could absorb 5% inflation maybe one time. And that's why they kept saying it's going to be transitory. But
it's not transitory.
But once that but now there is no breathing room at all. So every percentage is exponentially going to cut people down. Going from $2 to $3 a gas isn't too bad, but going 3 to 4 hurts really bad. Going 4 to 5 is almost just like slaughtering yourself.
And the name of this talking head on mainstream media was?
I don't know her freaking name.
Marie Antoinette?
No, yeah, right. Let them eat cake.
Yeah.
But she's, and you know what? As someone who has a 6-figure job, I can pay an extra dollar at the pump. Yes, but look, that's not the average wage of the freaking country, number one. Number two, tons of people are on welfare and or fixed income, and they're not getting that big of a raise. You know, she went on to say, well, Social Security is getting, I think, what, 5.9% increase cost of living or something like that. That's going to pay for it. First off, no, it's not. The real inflation is more than double that in my inflation. We're seeing all different things going up between 20 and 100%, okay, in the past year to 2 years. So, yeah, I think you said Marie Antoinette in a way, just let them eat cake. And, again, going up 5 or 10%. One time, that kind of hurts, but maybe the average American can kind of, you know, we do waste a lot of money, waste a lot of food. We can kind of tighten our belt a little bit, maybe. Okay. But guess what? There's not much tightening that can be done, especially after the last 10, 20 years. The middle class has been squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. So it's like literally straw that broke the camel back anytime now.
There's a lot of food waste in most American homes.
Yeah.
You know, making the kids eat everything has, you know, passed into a age where that used to happen, but today most kids do or don't eat anything they want, anytime they want, even to their own detriment, and things could get tough. You know, I remember my My parents grew up in the Great Depression. They were little kids, right? So they, you know, they remember, you know, during World War II, my mother recalled like drives to save food, and you know, the wrapping gum paper was collected because it was made of aluminum, right? My grandfather would shut off his car at the top of the hill and coast it so that he didn't consume gasoline on the drive down the hill. You know, Great Depression, America got through it once. How many people have an orientation towards getting really frugal, really fast to survive something like that? You know, preppers are. Most aren't.
Yep, exactly. So if you want to take that spirit in a positive direction, that's where prepping can really help. And that's inspired me to up my prepping. But also the conservation aspect, yes. But here's the other thing. There is a huge amount of poverty that we just don't see because of the EBT cards and the child tax credits and all these other stimulus and bailouts and all this other stuff.
Social welfare.
But exactly. So the banksters get the most welfare and deserve the most chiding about it in corporate America. It's freaking pathetic. But, and I'm not even degrading these people, but the amount of people that are out of the labor force and receiving government benefits, and, of course, just the aging retired population. Remember, people were talking about, at least that I was listening to 10-plus years ago, there's going to be a massive shortage in pilots. There's going to be a massive shortage in truckers. Health concerns are going to start catching up with people. We're fat, out of shape. Baby boomers getting real old. It's going to screw things up. Well, now you got coronavirus. It's totally amplified it.
Yeah.
So putting that all together, you know, this inflation is hitting hard and I don't see it abating anytime soon. They're going to do the best they can to manipulate the numbers. You know me, I always say that manipulating the numbers, I think they are and will continue to do so, but they also obviously can't hide it fully.
Yeah, what's there on the shelf available and what's not is can't be hidden. It's where you are. And when stuff you very well used to have in your earlier part of your life, you go without it over periods of time, it's going to impact people. You can't hide from that.
Mm-mm. And they've used a little shrinkflation tricks, right? And outsourcing production to third world countries and all these other areas where they've done their best to lower prices, but it's all saturated. All the ways that they can manipulate it. So, hey, maybe, there will be people definitely starving in the third world. There will be people that will be malnourished and potentially starving in America. But just the overall, people will be giving up their power, in my opinion, is kind of where I'm looking at this too. Is a lot more people will be food insecure and will be kind of subjects or wards of the state, which is really bad.
Be very compliant, be very afraid of any shocking events that could upend the system.
Yeah, so that's not good. That's opposite of independence and self-preservation.
But that's only for as long as they're still eating. Once people stop eating for a short amount of time, attitudes radically change to the worse. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's been on my mind. We got a lot of other things we're going to be talking about today. We're going to get to that news blitz. We got some interesting kind of thought experiment maybe in the second half we can get into, future Dan.
All right. I'm looking forward to those.
Absolutely.
We just speculate on Patriot Power Hour, except in the second segment when we get the news blitz. These are your facts coming up in the next segment, brought to you by Ben Cochran. Are you ready? Have you read it? Read the dashboard, Ben?
I have. We'll be back in just a few seconds. We'll go right through it. Patriot Power Hour on Prepper Broadcasting Network. Stick with us.
Here at the Prepper Broadcasting Network, our mission has expanded, and we have decided to use our influence to aid in disaster recovery. PBN is offering up our airwaves to nonprofits and boots-on-the-ground organizations that are affecting disaster recovery. The real people out there rebuilding lives. From organizations that reestablish the supply chain to those who deliver aid and even organizations that rebuild shattered homes and lives. The future of disaster response does not lay in the hands of some government organizations. No, it's up to us, Disaster Coffee. It only makes sense that PBN would partner with Disaster Coffee. Disaster Coffee is selling outstanding coffee that is roasted to order and shipped right to your door. A portion of their profits will be directly donated to disaster recovery organizations like Grindstone Ministries, Healthcare Ready, and Citizens Assisting Citizens. Disaster Coffee sources top quality beans that are roasted to order. You get coffee at its very best, but you also make a difference with every purchase. Disaster Coffee offers every customer the ability to join the national disaster relief effort. Get yours at disastercoffee.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network. Never, never leave.
Patriot Power Hour, episode 161, November 16th, 2021. We're here with your news blitz. Go to futuredanger.com. One word, futuredanger.com. Follow along. Here we go. Starting with health and nature, the rightmost column. Moderna defends COVID shot as questions on heart risks mount. Taiwan halts second dose of Pfizer vaccinations for children. Israeli study shows two shots of Pfizer vaccine, quote, don't last. I've seen many a study showing that. Meanwhile, unfortunate news, Connecticut nursing home was 98% vaccinated. Eight were killed. And dozens infected, confirmed infected, in this nursing home. So obviously, many, if not all, that were infected were vaccinated. Storms wash deadly scorpions and snakes into Egyptian streets. Hundreds suffered bites or stings. Kind of scary. Pestilence befalls. Second richest man on planet wants all of humanity in space with a chance to revisit Earth like a Yellowstone tourist. Kind of coming back to the preserve that was once Earth. Economics, as we talked about a lot in the first segment, inflation. Well, beef prices up more than 20% year over year. Very glad I took down a deer this hunting season. Saved some money. Very healthy and yummy, too. Consumer prices jumped 6.2% in October. Biggest inflation surge in more than 30 years. Coal prices at 2009 levels. You might recall oil hit above $150 a barrel in 2008-2009 period. It's starting to bounce back in gasoline too, but coal prices have eclipsed that. Of course, that's electricity. CPI, Consumer Price Index, still, you know, maybe it's awaiting more recent data that'll catch up, but only 1.6% increase in prices, which in of itself can still add pressure, but again, we'll expect to see this go up. We'll monitor it as new numbers come out. Moving on. A little bit more economics. And we'll talk about this in the second half. How about it? Senators try to amend infrastructure bill provision that will stifle digital currencies. Meanwhile, Google Cloud outage, 30,000 websites down. Pretty low level, something to be on the lookout for. Inflation's going to make government budget problems worse. Very, very true. Where do you think they're going to get the extra Social Security cost of living, for example? Meanwhile, just in the month of October, first month of the fiscal year, 449 billion dollars spent. Can't even count that high. $449 billion spent in October by the feds. Federal government debt to GDP ratio, 123%. Now, some news. It's a little surprising, but not really if you've been paying attention. But still, this is a landmark. Maybe more proper milestone. Global wealth surges. China overtakes America to grab the top spot. The Chinese, the number of billionaires and the old aggregate wealth, all those just rising and rising. China overtaking. A treasury maturing in 30 years, a 30-year treasury, now paying a lower yield than one maturing in 20 years. As inversion of the yield curve shows things are not working properly. But when interest rates are near zero for all intents and purposes, weird things happen, let's say. Real quick, touch on some of the prices. Gasoline per gallon, about where it was last week, $3.41 nationwide in the red zone. We're seeing oil at $80, higher than it was certainly last year, but not at the record highs. Gasoline, though, pretty high levels. Gold, maintaining where it's at, even with these inflations, it's not really seeing too much action. However, it's not too far off from its all-time record either.
What's oil at?
It's been maintaining. Dollar was oil was at about $80.
$80 now.
Mm-hmm.
Remarkably high where compared to where it was just 2 years ago.
Yep. Between 40 and 60. Pretty sure about
dangerous,
that.
Dangerous growth in that cost.
Definitely. And that's where it's like, okay, if it didn't go any higher, maybe it won't have too much issues, but anything more will just continually be worse and worse. And continuing. Oh, but here's a real interesting one. Diesel creeping up even faster. And that's that trucking too. $3.73 a gallon, diesel too. Let's move on. Geopolitics, security, national security, etc. Illegal aliens would get $10.5 billion from reconciliation bill. We'll dive deeper into that one. Build Back Better Act to grant nationwide temporary amnesty to illegal aliens. Let's also look into that one. After the break later on. FBI tagging parents that were protesting school board as threats. I actually want to look at that one as well. Jeez, we got a lot to research later on. Again, everything we're saying, headlines with the article behind it. FBI tagging parents protesting school board as threats. Russia tests anti-satellite weapons. We'll click on that, even though I've done a good amount of research on that, and speak to that. I believe from the 70s or 80s, an old satellite, Russia's own satellite, was used as target practice. They admit the direct ascent anti-satellite weapon strike. International Space Station, astronauts had to go to their escape capsule in case debris hit them. Russia says, of course, there was no threat. And Kyle Rittenhouse, Jesus, so many topics. This is what Patriot Power Hour brings you. Kyle Rittenhouse, murder trial, jury deliberations. We got, even more crazy news on the other side here with James O'Keefe. Project Veritas, But guess what? Judge is ordering the FBI to stop data extraction on James O'Keefe's phones, the latest. And I guess to round it out, we're seeing a little activity in Russia. Military, no, they've been saying they're preparing to make a move on Ukraine. We'll see. Future Dan, that looks like about everything. We got a lot to cover at the break. We got to get out of here in a few minutes, but I want to stand by, see what you got to say from the big picture, looking at all of these in the aggregate. What are you thinking?
Pretty normal week for this fall. A lot of trends continuing to grow bad or stay bad. But can we deep dive real quick into one of them?
Yeah.
Can you bust open the inflation archive? Something you said in the first quarter. Off of the headline of the indicator, you could just dive right into the full history of articles supporting that indicator. We're looking at red now. Scrolling down, it really picked up right there. And walk us through when the dates started to hit red this year.
Great. This goes back even before Patriot Power Hour. 2017 to 2021, there was almost nothing at the red level or orange level. But it was just after COVID, just after trillions in COVID bailouts and massive quantitative easing and Federal Reserve stimulus, etc.
The indicators flashed red.
Exactly.
Pretty regularly since.
Yep. And there were several in a row this past summer, 2021. And kind of abated slightly, I guess you could say, into August and September, but now it's coming back hotter than ever.
The flow of news did, right?
Yeah.
So it's usually waiting each quarter until they have to admit it's getting worse, and exactly. You see the horror headlines that are in a red. We're holding off grading it, most dangerous black on red, because how high does food prices and inflation have to soar before you see that? A lot higher. A lot higher. There is some slack in the system, and for most, there won't be food hardship quite yet. But this thing has really turned on since the pandemic.
Definitely, and it makes sense why. Well, there's really many, many reasons why, and I think we summed it all up in the last 30 minutes or less. We have the labor shortages that we're building from demographics, but also more folks on welfare or getting other ways that they're not, under the table. Actually, kind of a positive way, in my opinion, the black market economy is going up. So a lot of people working on the side, doing their own thing, for better or worse, depends on what they're doing, I suppose. But really what we focus here on Patriot Power Hour is the banking system and the government irresponsible spending and policies. That's really a major, if not the major, driver of inflation. A lot of other issues at hand, and people, they're trying to blame COVID. It's all COVID, only COVID. Supply chain issues, it's all COVID. No, a good portion, if not the majority, is their crappy decision making and their corruption. And you can't forget that.
I think black market applies to contraband. Things are illegal.
Underground economy.
Well, that, free economy.
Yeah. Okay, they have a negative stigma to it, but, I think maybe.
Yeah, but it's your cultural reference frame of adopting the statist view that which isn't sanctioned by the state is black market. Yeah. I take exception to that. I mean, moving, kilos of cocaine, yeah, that's black market, right? But, doing gigs on the side to make a living, transacting freely in the United States of America, always was like that, always will be like that since 1913. Just because they allowed income tax doesn't mean that was going to stop. And, you've heard my opinion before, income tax is immoral anyways. So be free with your economic activity in pursuit of happiness, I say.
What would an IRS agent say, though, sir?
He's a statist that I don't respect.
All right, so
abolish the IRS and the FBI.
Hey, well,
and the ATF.
I can stand behind tonight, all that.
Repeal all the acts
Ron Paul listed out how I think like at least two thirds of the government agencies could be phased out in a week, and then be almost no problems at all.
Relegate to state police. They're not what they were when the FBI was founded.
Exactly.
And they can handle it.
And guess what? It wouldn't actually work like this, but they could lower taxes. And guess what? Then people could pay for it at the state level. But anyway, we're going to break. We're going to get into a few more deep dive articles and maybe a thought experiment, as we call it. But be sure, check out PrepperBroadcasting.com. And not only subscribe to the podcast, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, search PrepperBroadcasting.com, but tell your friends. Even if you only have a couple people that are awake and into prepping, every one of them would be interested. We'll be back.
You may have noticed the traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, second half here, November 16th, 2021. Future Dan, we got tons of articles to
what are we talking about
go
now?
Deep into. You want to?
What are we talking about now?
What's How about that Russian anti-satellite weapon test?
I bet they've done it before covertly.
I was literally about to say, I know this ain't the first time they've
done it. So this is a demonstration of force. Probably a hypersonic that they are showing off can do that.
Exactly.
Just to show that they can do it. And that's what major powers have done for a long time. Since you know, the end of Cold War, or end of World War II, I should say. And throughout the Cold War, demonstrations of strength, Mayday parades, invasions of countries. I mean, this is what you do.
That's something I want to ask. I would love to ask NBC guy, but maybe I'll ask when he gets back from Romania. But what does he think the battlefield would look like? Or I'm thinking more of like what the military would look like and what the battlefield would look like potentially after most satellites were taken out and after massive grid down. Of course, a lot of military installations, I'm sure, have their own systems and all these other contingencies, la 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 la. But it's still a very, very big strain.
What goes down?
Right? Let's say there's no power on the entire eastern seaboard from the Mississippi to the East Coast.
There will be on military installations.
Right. But all the surrounding area is not. So that's just a drain. They'd be able to survive, and they have the planning for this. But I guess I'm thinking more of overseas, number one. And number two, I was actually more focused on what if, you know, satellites were taken out too. Like, there's massive EMP that took out a bunch of satellites in orbit. You know, nukes weren't actually dropped, but everything else besides that in terms of EMPs and weapons to take out power grids, satellites, GPS as best as possible. Would the Army even be able to keep its stuff together? Do the average, you know, guys on the ground now even know how to navigate without using GPS and stuff would be one question. Number two, we know the citizens sure as hell wouldn't. What would take place, I guess?
Yeah, well, map reading and land navigation are core activities of the Army and the Marine Corps on the ground. The Navy has gone back to teaching its officers how to do non-GPS navigation to a large degree because we're starting.
They could even ship out troops from America to Africa with no satellite navigation.
Yeah.
I mean, they could maybe, but I mean, I have to say that would really hamper their effectiveness, wouldn't it?
They'd struggle at it, but what you'd be struggling at is returning to 1985.
I think Russia and China are like America in 1985, so they actually might be at a more equal footing is kind of my
hypothesis. Well, I pick 85 because the GPS satellites were going up and getting tested and getting understood at the time, but there's also capability that has been identified by our government as areas of research, aka DARPA projects, that are obviously, you know, if successful, highly classified because they're advantageous to us, to just repopulate space with microsatellites as fast as possible. If we can chuck them back up faster than they can and maintain the ability to, you know, absolutely take them out of space. So it's tracked on Future Danger as clandestine space combat because early stage zero activities, stage one covert activities of destroying each other's assets in space could be underway. And I watch the news very carefully to see if, amateur astronomers are seeing things that might be indicative of those actions, but really hard to see if that's going on up there. This is Russia demonstrating that they could do it, but they're also demonstrating now that nothing you put in space that you don't want to lose should be very large.
Yeah.
It should be microsatellites.
Great. No, you gave great analysis right there. Then that's kind of what I was looking into. I didn't know exactly what I was asking.
All of our, you talk about EMP, which isn't this, but it's in the domain of space.
Hardened.
We've known that nuclear weapons can produce EMP, strikes that will knock out circuitry, chips, communications. So it's all been hardened since the 50s. In our military, like a Humvee that was a military Humvee that was hardened for, so after the EMP, it still runs. Like we haven't fielded an army that couldn't withstand that since the 60s.
Okay. Good to know.
Now, can they operate skill wise?
Yeah.
In a what would be a post, all information available environment compared to its zenith right now? Yeah, it'd be a struggle for every military on Earth that relies on GPS. But I assure you, we teach map. Our Army still teaches map reading to our soldiers.
More than just like a 1 week course. Hopefully, they use it more often. I guess
you got to pass land nav courses for to become an officer, to become an NCO, to become qualified in schools like Ranger School and just your basic infantry basic training. You got to land nav, right? Hopefully. To become, earn badges and other unit, just to meet training objectives of basic units, they land now.
Good.
Like you and I did at Azure Highland.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff. I guess here's the question. If America's effectiveness is knocked down 30% from all this and China's only knocked down 5% because they don't really use satellites, they just got massive amount of old equipment, then that puts us at a more of a disadvantage. Is that a true hypothesis, or do you think we got enough contingency plans, like you said, the microsatellite repopulation, and or just the military so well reinforced and funded that it wouldn't really stop their ability to kick ass?
What if we have underground rail guns, like big tubes that would just chuck microsatellites into space, like a, basically like a machine gun for
catapult.
rail gun, just magnetically, just fire them into space. We might have that, and the Russians might very well know that, and they might pull off something like this more for, domestic, social control to assure Russians that, they're not going to get invaded, but. Yeah. Us in a land war for any reason with Russia in my lifetime, I can't quite understand why that would happen unless this country started to collapse. And then Russia is a formidable foreign army that you know, we'd have to, you know, we'd be concerned about. But China is too.
Very interesting.
What else we got in the news?
Yeah, let's move on. I could definitely talk about this stuff. Not that I'm an expert in it. It's just very interesting to me. But let's move on to the next article. Let's see. I want to go to this one. We already kind of mentioned it, and I didn't know that this article would go directly into the expanded child tax credit, but I had spoke about it earlier in the episode today. But it is directly tied to that. The article we talked about earlier, the headline, that illegal immigrants would get $10.5 billion from this reconciliation bill. How was that $10.5 billion calculated is what I wanted to look into. And it was because they are eligible for this expanded child tax credit. So
it's sort of meaningless, though, because how many of them file taxes?
Well, that's a good point, too, I suppose. I mean, maybe this is a ploy to get more of them to file taxes. file your taxes. You'll get all your money back for now until we get you later.
In any event, it invites, you know, populations in Latin America, especially, just to, you know, move to the United States to solidify a voting block in this country for the government in power.
Mm-hmm. And I will say that the Federal Reserve is printing $80 billion a month. So just in 1 month, they'd 8 times more than this. Just for a scale effect, but still, $10.5 billion is a lot of money.
All right, all right.
Ridiculous amount of money, really.
That bill hasn't passed yet, by the way. So.
Yeah, and actually going right into it.
Another part of the infrastructure bill that hasn't passed yet.
Yep, is the Bitcoin and really all types of cryptocurrency or in DeFi, decentralized finance.
DeFi, I haven't heard that term.
Really? Okay.
Nice.
There's smart contracts. Think of that. It's smart contracts, blockchain. But Bitcoin is the obvious most, the highest market cap. But there's a lot of other coins and tokens out there. A lot of them are scams, but a lot of them are not, in my opinion. But do your own research is definitely my suggestion. But regardless, in the aggregate, it's called DeFi. Here's an example, actually. Let's say I have 0.1 Bitcoin. I can send it to an account, and they will pay me 4.5% interest per year on that. 4.5% APY to me. Now, try to put, and that's equivalent to $6,000 right now, about. Now, go get $6,000 and put it in your local savings, and you might get like a dollar.
Nothing. After fees, you just had it there.
Yeah, but using the DeFi, because it uses real supply and demand.
There's actually an interest
rate. There's actually 4.5% interest rate because people want to borrow. People borrow and also lend Bitcoin and these other products.
Sort of validates the legitimacy of these currencies compared to the greenback right now.
Yes.
They earn interest.
And there are DeFi companies that operate in New York City or like under that law, and they are subject already to the same sort of laws that, you know, from the SEC, et cetera.
So this bill
is a whole new level.
This bill is going to do what to who if you own crypto? If it passes in its current form in this bipartisan group of senators who are now trying to amend the infrastructure bill in the Senate so that it isn't as harsh on crypto, if this, the bill as is passed, how harsh is it on digital currencies, Ben?
In the way it's formed right here, unless they can find a workaround, it would devastate all the DeFi or second layer aspect of the crypto world.
So they want to clamp down on the most lucrative speculative part of this thing.
Yes, which, in my opinion, Bitcoin in particular would still have tons of value, and really this would not affect it in the long term, but in the short term, it would be very negative for the price.
Buying opportunity.
Yeah, I would think so. Could cut it in half.
Really? We could go to 30 grand Bitcoin again by the end of this year if this passes.
That'd be tough, but a confluence of events, and maybe even if the stock market turns over a little bit, post-Christmas in particular. But going back to what this actually does, it forces the companies, whether it's exchange or these DeFi organizations, to report any transaction you make
above a certain threshold.
Above $10,000.
Right, which originally was like $600.
Yes. And that, and also they're trying to monitor everybody's regular bank account, let alone crypto. But they're extending it to crypto for all intents and purposes. And that, they actually have to report it in this instance. So that'd be like if your bank, well, really, your bank will report you. And we've seen this in like mob movies where they get, you know, they do transactions of $9,800 instead of $10,000, right? Be underneath the radar.
Sopranos.
But yeah, exactly. But this is a whole different level because it's literally monitored in real time.
Yeah.
And like, at the, you know, AI is integrating this data, being a little facetious, but not really.
So we're watching this bill, both bills closely, not just for the crypto quashing effect, but because what's going to add to the fiscal imbalance of this country, the debt incurred by all of these bills will be, you know, Ben would like to think it'd be the death knell to our current system, but I don't know how much debt it can absorb before it's a problem. But yeah, we bang that drum pretty much every week. What else is in the news?
Pretty much.
Abolish the FBI. That's what I say.
There you go.
What's next? FBI news.
Real quick, I just wanted to get a little deeper into it.
Department of Justice ordered the FBI to start tagging parents who are outspoken in their communities about the medical tyranny brought on by school boards. So calling out the SWAT and the helicopters to local, you know, near FBI headquarters protest events. Now, you know, a FBI whistleblower. Luckily, there are some patriots still in the Bureau letting it be known that they're placing tags on your dossier, Ben. And this one is EDU official, education official. So if you're outspoken and you're identified in the big sucking up of information, not by the NSA, in this case, it's the FBI, although the FBI could tap into everything the NSA has, you know, given the right paperwork or the right overlooking of paperwork. But wonder what tags you and I have with the FBI. Yeah. Wonder what the code words are for podcasters and calling themselves Patriot Power Hour are.
Patriot, capital P. That's like the highest level. You're at the top it's of the a list. P on the, take you out.
Yeah. I bet you they don't use that at the FBI. Nah, they think not. They're the Patriots, but time is showing that they're the agency itself is not. And it's got to be full of a lot of people who are, you know, not Patriots to be doing this.
For sure. Moving on, you know, actually, you know what? We only got 10 minutes left. I want to get into, if you're ready for it.
Yeah, thought experiment. What are we talking about?
Yeah. Well, you want to do the Soviet words? You ready for that?
We can tease it.
Doing more research
we
on
tease
that.
Tease it. We're not ready.
Okay. I thought we were ready for that.
All right. So what we're, we can preview what we're going to do. But Ben, you got to say what you're going to do and do what you said you're going to do. What's so that? So this has to happen now.
What's that?
That you did a, you're teasing this little thought experiment. No, we're not ready, but we can preview it.
Okay. I thought that was this thought experiment we were doing. We weren't ready for it.
Not ready. I want to do it right. So okay. What we're,
I thought we were talking through it on air, but we're actually going to present the info more like. This is behind the scenes, folks.
Right. So this is an early preview of probably okay. Next week. Get my act together and get some terms together. Going to go through a glossary of Soviet terms and talk about them in the contemporary American political and social environment and discuss how under the Soviet rule, totalitarian communist rule for 70 years, how they had terminology that is quite apt for our media, for our current government, for your fellow citizens, and kind of have fun with it. And just if you are too young to remember and didn't choose to study deeply what the Soviet Union was, how it came into being, and what atrocities it conducted on its own people and to the rest of the world, and the entire way of thinking that they brought to that part of the world until it all collapsed in the late 80s, early 90s. So examples of, we've used one neologism on this show that we made up on Patriot Power, neo-Bolshevism.
Yes.
Right? So yes. That's one.
That's an example, at least. So
we're gonna do that with a lot more terminology and try to keep it, you know, brisk and lightweight. And if you're old enough to remember these things, you know, harken back to what we knew that our adversary, the Soviet Empire, was, but show you how we've lapsed into so many of those habits in a in a strangely new and quasi free society way, nonviolently, but nevertheless just as controlling.
Absolutely. And I just feel like there's so many great comparisons, particularly between the Soviets and even the Bolsheviks. It's just the rise of them, you know, coming up through Stalin, but beyond. You know, we'll kind of cover their entire history from, you know, 1916 up until 1989.
Just their words,
right?
You know, just the words they came up with.
Yeah,
well, how they described the
it. And also, some of these words will be related to what the population, kind of how they fall into step, or how the authoritarianism and some of the techniques used to oppress the people, or and the news. And so a lot of different terms spanning the whole gamut. So I'm looking forward to it.
Right, right. You can do a little bit with Nazi regime speak.
Yeah, that's overplayed, and I think people, Soviet is more apt to what we're facing, in my opinion.
It lasted longer, obviously. It had a bigger impact on far more lives, and every bit is evil. So
yeah,
we'll do that. You know, what I think I ought to do is, now that we've committed to this in episode 162.
161.
Well, I'm saying we're doing this.
162 we're gonna
yeah, we weren't ready in 161.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't have them written out. I should have taken them.
Oh, yeah. When you see me with a handful of notes, you'll know we're doing this. But we're going to probably blend in, too, some science fiction dystopia author words from Orwell, Kurzweil, maybe some Fahrenheit 451 type terminology, Brave New World language. You know, Orwell's got a pile of them, which people are increasingly aware of. So we're going to do the Soviet speak and the sci-fi.
The new speak and the double speak and all the speak.
All the speaks that describe where we are today. And maybe if we really are on top of our game, I can feed you this list ahead of time. We don't usually do show prep for Patriot Power Hour, hard as that may be seem sometimes. This is, you know, we don't
script the show, though.
No, it's not scripted, but this will be more of maybe a special that we can knock out a special, maybe go a little bit longer, make sure we cover it all, and set down in the record our view on you know how these words apply now, and how you as a patriot, freedom-oriented individual, can throw them at the other proles who won't understand what you're talking about.
Because it's not, you know, obviously direct one-to-one relation necessarily. In some, actually, instances it is, but it's kind of a variant or a neo-version, right? That next version of doublespeak, or that next version of all these different aspects of takeover of society and the oppression of society. So anyway, I'm looking forward to that.
But if we're on top of our game, we're going to be able to crack open a few indicator archives and talk about, here's plenty of examples of this word. Here's a few, and we'll probably limit it to just things we've seen in 2021.
Well, exactly. And then we're going to be able to use them from then on too.
So we're going to back this up with yeah. hardcore example. I'm going to feed you a list of these, and we're going to do a little bit of studying. Maybe you'll pick economic indicators and apply terminology that really affects it. And I could probably cover the other three columns pretty well and have a tour de force dictionary kind of a vocab session in a way that you'll hear other hosts throw around these terms. You might not be familiar with them. Some of these we're going to make up and, you know, just, in, you know, kind of build our own neologisms out or, you know, talk about perhaps things that others don't regularly talk about, but especially the Soviet language, lots of people that are my generation or older who paid attention to what the Soviet Union was. This is going to, you know, probably, you know, a leap forward of, you know, in 1991, when the Soviet Union came down, how do we ever think 30 years later we'd be at the same place?
Right.
In a bizarrely futuristic, different way.
Just with a lot more technology.
And a lot more supposed freedom when somehow you don't really have it.
Exactly. A lot more like false. Yeah. Oh, man. We're going to get into it. It's going to be great. And like you said, we're going to back it up with great examples. And I think it's going to set a foundation for the future so we can use these words.
So this is like rhetorical prepping.
Yeah.
Prepping. So when you have to have a conversation with people and they're pinning you back on some contemporary idiotic argument for why more statism is the answer, you can retort in an intelligent way that's grounded in history and grounded in authors who saw the future and warned us.
Exactly. Oh, you got it, man. Nailed it. And there's the thought experiment. I knew we were going to have a thought experiment. Boom. Great way to end the show. Patriot Power Hour. We got to make way for Next Generation. Future Dan, 161st was great. First 4 years were great. Let's keep grinding into next week and beyond, all right?
We got work to do between now and then.
All right. Everybody out there, enjoy Next Generation. Be sure to check out all the Prepper Broadcasting Network shows. We'll be back next week. Check you later.
Thank you for listening to the Prepper Broadcasting Network, where we promote self-reliance and independence. Tune in tomorrow for another great show and visit us at PrepperBroadcasting.com.